This is Andy Griffith. The years between 1951 and 1960 have often been called the time of tranquility, the pressureless period, and other euphonious euphemisms. One thing can be said, these were quiet years. No threats, no invasions. The United Nations had the Security Council on back burner. Was this because of brilliant diplomatic maneuvering, power politics, or luck? Any of the above might have been given credit, till the following story was recently uncovered, a story that reveals the reason for such precious peace in our time. It begins in the cabinet room of a small, newly formed country. The date is June 1955. The president is about to address his three-man cabinet.
I wouldn't say because...
Gentlemen, I have something to announce to you of the greatest magnitude. By next week, the entire world will be talking about our country on the same level as Great Britain and the United States.
Do we have a scandal on our hands?
No! We have an achievement on our hands. It is something the best brains in the land have been dedicating themselves to for months. And it has finally come to fruition.
Mr. President, you mean to tell us...
Yes! We have the bomb.
Oh, no. Well, it looks like the president has dropped his own little bomb, and the cabinet has mixed feelings about it. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, You'll Never Guess Who Dropped In, by Alan Young. Our stars, Mr. Young, Ivor Barry, and Shepard Mencken.
It's been about 3 seconds since the president gave his big news to the cabinet. Even though their eyes and mouths are wide open, they haven't said another word. The vice president's the first to find his tone. It was right there where he left it.
Mr. President, did I really hear what I heard?
You heard? We have the bomb.
Oh, no. Mr. President, if I told you once, I told you twice... Sam, I said, don't make the bomb.
What are you talking about, Duval? This puts us in the big league. It separates the men from the boys.
If this bomb goes off at the wrong time, it's going to separate everybody.
Don't be chicken.
I'd rather be a live chicken than a dead duck.
Such monumental philosophy.
Gentlemen, please. We are at the point of our country's cosmic emergence as an eminent universal body politic. And you three are joking about it.
Well, we didn't expect it to happen so quickly.
Morgan, the finest brains in our land
Sam,
are...
you keep saying the finest brains in our land. You mean our physics professor down the hall?
One and the same.
Only last week he said he couldn't figure the bomb out.
Yes, he wanted to work on something else.
Since then we have had developments. We needed the key to isotope separation, a method that produces high-purity uranium-235.
Aha.
We also needed the control of the nucleus and application of vital elements necessary to a chain reaction resulting in nuclear fission. This has finally been obtained.
Did our agents get it from Russia?
What agents? It was in the Reader's Digest.
You see, Doval, and you wanted to cancel our subscription.
All right, who could have guessed?
And now, gentlemen, we come to the final phase. The bomb must be exploded.
Now, wait a minute. We spend a fortune building a bomb. It's finally finished, and now we're going to blow it up? Do we have money to burn?
It must be tested to see if it works.
Why don't we wait till somebody attacks us? Then we use the bomb. If it goes off, we win.
And if it doesn't?
Well, you can't win them all.
Gentlemen, we did not build this bomb to use on anybody. That's unthinkable. For a small country such as ours, the possession of this capability gives us enormous tactical power.
What is the recommendation for the test, Mr. President?
We shall have motion picture cameras at every possible angle photographing the explosion. 3 days later, when the radioactivity has subsided, we shall photograph the results. This picture will be released to the news media of the world.
And I'm sure much thought has been given to the site for such a test. I mean, it can't be conducted here. This bomb would make a hole bigger than our country.
Yeah, but how about exploding it underground?
Oh, there go the potatoes.
All this has been considered, gentlemen. Allow me to show you this map of the world. Right. Now, here we are over here.
I can't stand that map. They painted us magenta.
And that's the trouble with being a new country. All the good colors are taken.
If I may continue, I have been informed that right here in the Indian Ocean, in the Ompego Island group, is a small, uncharted, barren atoll.
What's an atoll?
It's a little island.
Why couldn't you say that?
I see the point, Mr. President. Nobody knows the island's there, so nobody will miss it when it's gone, right?
Right.
Yeah, how do we get the bomb down there?
Beauregard has arranged to rent a 4-engine plane from our airline. It's the cross-country champagne flight. The trip only lasted 10 minutes, so they discontinued it.
Oh, I took it once. Some champagne flight. Muscatel in a Dixie cup. Oh.
But the plane carries enough fuel to fly them there and back. And they can drop the bomb out of the luggage compartment.
How will the camera equipment and personnel get there?
Our naval force will leave a week early.
Naval force?
The boat.
Oh.
It will sail through the Gulf, down past the Maldive Islands, right down here to the Ompego group. Our target is 100 miles west of this dot.
Does Beauregard know how to get there?
Frime, when you rent a plane, it comes with seat belts and a map.
Oh.
Gentlemen, by next Thursday, our young land will be a member of the world superpowers.
Then no more magenta.
A few thousand miles away in London, England, in the offices of the British Manpower Mobilization Department, obsolete files division, two clerks are standing in front of a huge filing cabinet. One of the clerks is removing dossiers from the cabinet, checking them with a list held by the second clerk, and then throwing them into the disposal cart.
Serial number 254-8371, processed.
Serial number 254-8371, processed.
Serial number 254-8372, processed.
Serial number 254-8372.
Process. Oi, here's one that someone spilled tea on. Fine thing to do to a soldier's dossier.
Oh, come on. It's 12 years ago. I'm sure the bloke don't mind. He's probably married, got 6 kids by now.
Yeah, he spilled marmalade on it too. Ooh, they certainly lived high in the War Office in those days, didn't they?
Oh, come off it, Charlie. We'll be here all night if you analyze us, everyone. The war's been over for 10 years. All these blokes are at home with their wives. Well, we could be if you get a move on.
All right. Ooh, hello. Oh, wait a minute.
Now what's wrong, Mr. Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, these papers is stuck together. It's the marmalade what done it.
Yeah, well, I'm not interested in hearing your culinary facts. Let's get on with it, huh?
Criminy. Here, Al.
Oh, what is it now?
There's two dossiers stuck together here. They haven't been processed.
Gone.
That's the truth. Yeah, look it. Captain Osgood Pennington, Ompego Island, June 1942. And Lieutenant Basil Smythe Wimpole, June 1942. 12 years ago, and neither one of them has been stamped. You know what that means?
Blimey.
Yeah. They was dropped off on one of them Ompego Islands 12 years ago, and nobody's went and brought them back.
in the South Indian Ocean, a plane roars over the Umpago Islands. On the sea, a task force, a boat, steams toward a lonely atoll, a pinpoint in the ocean, destined to be obliterated. No one is aware that on this tiny island, two men have kept solemn guard for 12 years, unheralded, unsung, unknown, and maybe soon to be underwater. The commander of the island force, Captain Osgood Pennington, DSO, is coming out of his quarters, while his command, Lieutenant Basil Smythe Wimble, is busy splitting coconuts, the island's only edible commodity.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Yeah. See them all standing in a row. Yeah. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a blast.
All right. Company, fall in.
Oh, well.
Company, chain, shut. From the left, number
one.
Good. Company all present and accounted for.
It'd be so delightful someday to hear two.
No talking in the ranks, old boy.
I beg your pardon.
At ease. Well, I'm glad to see you take parade so seriously. It may seem slightly redundant, but after all, it's discipline that's going to save us. Hmm?
It is a break in the day.
Do you have the patrol report, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir. At 10:55, I commenced reconnoitre. Travelled due west. No sign of enemy activity. No sign of enemy. No sign of activity. Just the same old day after day, boring nothing.
Just give the report. No editorialising.
Sorry, sir. After complete circumnavigation, I arrived back at 12:02. Am pleased to report the island is still in our hands.
Jolly good. Our defence is holding.
Oh, Osgood, how like you. If I may say so, sir, bosh.
I beg your pardon, Lieutenant.
For approximately 12 years, all we've been defending against are sporadic air raids by passing seagulls, with inglorious and odious defeat, I might add. I mean, if we are going to fight, then let's jolly well fight. This funning about is most provocative.
Ours not to reason why.
Must you keep saying those things, old man?
What?
Ours not to reason why. Needs must when the devil drives. Necessity is the mother of invention. That was most encouraging 12 years ago, but the exhilaration is wearing a little thin.
Old man, have you been drinking salt water again?
No, sir.
Then let's keep a close rein on hysteria, shall we?
I am sorry, sir. But from time to time, especially when things appear a bit dicey, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes, sharks, and all that lot, and not having even heard from the command or anyone else for over 12 years, one begins to wonder, have they overlooked us?
Oh, I say, really?
Just a random thought. After all, they established us here 12 years ago. And in all that time, they haven't even said so much as Bob's your uncle. I mean, it is a bit much.
Well, not to worry. Let's get on with it. Company, attention! Right turn! Dismiss! Well, I thought perhaps I'd do a little digging in the mine. Would you care to join me?
Jolly good idea. Get out of the sun.
You know, it's a funny thing, that.
Well?
In some caves one discovers gold, silver, platinum.
Diamond.
Diamond, mm. Yes. But in our cave, we find lead.
How odd.
What?
Lead constitutes only 15,000% of the Earth's crust. That's all.
And we have most of it. Well, better do some digging. Yeah, I didn't realize that you were so knowledgeable as to lead.
Yeah. Strange, all this time together, we know so little about each other, actually. Not to pry, but what was your vocation before the war?
Well, actually, I was in sales for British aircraft manufacturing. Nearly sold one the first year. Management told me to see a Mr. Solomon in Long Island. I thought they said to see a Mr. Long in the Solomon Islands, so I was simply miles out of the way. I thought it was odd I was going it alone. Of course, it was only a matter of months, and I began to suspect I was batting a sticky wicket. What occupation were you in?
I was with the British Trade Commission.
Mm.
Sent overseas, you see, to stimulate trade in the various areas.
Oh, yeah.
We were trading things, you see.
Yes.
Not that I personally had much to trade. Just some things that Mummy left me. A set of cricket stumps. An Italian jumping saddle. Never did have a horse. Just Mummy and I going about. Jumping. Is there anything practical we could make with all this lead, you suppose?
No, just bullets.
How many do we have so far?
As of yesterday, 3,000,065. Mm. And just bullets, no propellant.
Mm. Mm. We could throw them, I suppose.
Yeah. I say, hush. Listen.
What?
For a moment, I thought I heard an airplane.
Now, that's odd. I didn't want to mention it in my report. It seems so ridiculous, but I thought I heard one this morning.
Quickly.
Yeah, it is a plane. I can't see it, but it's up there.
The wireless. Quickly.
Right. You listen, I'll pump.
That's all we can do is listen. If only we could transmit.
You think we should lay out some sort of signal? Perhaps hang the flag?
Well, our mission is rather delicate. We don't want to appear pushy.
Right. Would be a little obvious.
Yeah. I'm getting something. It's coming in.
Hello? Hello? This is Beauregard calling. Come in, boat. Come in. Over.
This is the boat calling. We are 15 miles due south. When do you make the run? Over?
In 1 minute. I examined the island. Nothing on it. I'll have a rehearsal with the co-pilot and then we'll make the run. Over and out. Effie?
Yes, sir.
Now, we don't have an intercom, so you go back and stand by the bomb. When I yell bombs away, push.
Got it. You're going to yell bombs away, push.
No, 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 no. I'm just going to yell bombs away. You do the push.
Got it.
The bomb is set to explode at 200 feet, so after you push it out, close the doors because we're going to climb and scoot.
Push, climb, and scoot. Got it.
I wish he wouldn't talk like that. Oh, well. Hello. Hello, come in, Bert. Bert, come in.
Hello. Boat is in. Over.
I am starting the run. The island is in sight. We'll be making the drop in about 12 seconds. 11, 10. Wait a minute. I see something moving. Wait till I get the binoculars. Yes, there's a man. No. 2 men on the island. I'll have to stop it. Over and out. Effie! Effie!
Got it! Bombs away! Push!
Oh, no. He did it! He did it!
I say, stop the pumping, old man.
Oh? Heard sufficient?
I think so, yes.
I say, you look as though you've had a turn. Anything wrong?
They're dropping a bomb, actually.
Oh. On us?
Afraid so.
Well, then, shouldn't we wave or shoo them off?
No, no good. You see, I phrased it wrongly. They've already dropped it, actually.
Oh, I say, that is a bit naughty, isn't it? Well, shall we?
Righto.
It's been 5 minutes since the explosion. The island has disappeared, with the exception of one small pinnacle of rock. It seems to be the entrance to a cave or a mine shaft.
I say, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir?
You all right?
As a matter of fact, yes. A slight ringing in the ears, but that's to be expected, I suppose. You, sir?
Oh, top drawer. Except my whistle's broken.
Well, sometimes blessings come in small portions.
Mm, yeah. You know, I may be wrong, but it seems to me that either the water is rising or the island is sinking.
Perhaps a bit of both. Let's have a look.
Yeah. Hold on. Hello, hello, hello. What or whom have we here?
A ship approaching.
It's a boat. How many men do you count on her?
Let's see. One, two... eight men.
Eight against two. Well, we have the element of surprise.
And no weapons.
Yes, that should surprise them.
I beg your pardon, sir. There are not eight, there are nine. There's another one over there, is there? I missed him because he's behind the machine gun.
Oh. Well, that's Tornet. No matter. Ours not to reason why.
Oh, no, sir, not that again. I'd much rather have the machine gun.
Sorry, Lieutenant. Well, old boy, shall we prang on?
Jolly good, sir. Up and at him.
Charge!
The Battle of the Atoll lasted about 30 seconds. Naturally, the captain and the lieutenant were captured, transferred to the airplane, and flown back along with the entire film fiasco. The film was developed, printed, and at the moment, the president and his cabinet have just finished viewing it. The film shows the bomb being dropped on a tiny island. Later, it shows a boat approaching the island to make an inspection. The atoll is almost completely demolished, but standing on the only section that's above water are two men wearing British uniforms. They are throwing what appears to be bullets at the approaching ship. After seeing this unbelievable account, the cabinet room is totally silent. Finally, a member speaks.
Dear me, what a mess.
If I said it once, I said it twice. Don't make the bomb.
All right, DeWille, I know. But what do we do now? We spent the people's money. The people did without many modern necessities, so we could have the money. With that money, we built the ultimate weapon of destruction. We dropped that same weapon straight on top of two men, and I've got a worse headache than they've got.
Mr. President, we are the only ones who know these two men are around. Now, in some countries, if something should happen to them...
Morgan, we are not animals. We are very worried civil servants.
That could be worse.
Besides, you can't hide a thing like this for long. It's already been recorded on seismographs all over the world. And already they know something's happened.
Who listens?
Russia, the United States, England, France, Liechtenstein.
Why Liechtenstein?
Picky, picky, picky. You see, when a country explodes a bomb, it's like having a puppy. You know he's done it, now you have to find out where.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. How do you know they'll know it's us?
I'll tell you. I called the British ambassador.
Why?
I had to. Those soldiers are English. He told me they forgot to pick them up off the island 10 years ago.
And what did you say?
I told him exactly what we did.
You did?
Oh, no. And what did he say to you?
If they don't say anything, then of course we don't say anything.
Gentlemen, this film is sure to get out to the world. Don't forget it was developed at the drugstore.
That means it'll be world news in 2 days.
No, wait a minute. I got it. It could give us some time. It could be a solution. It could also put us on the map.
Without Magenta?
Without Magenta. And it might also be true.
Okay, you're going to share your thoughts or you're going to keep playing I've Got a Secret?
My thoughts are these. We release the film. We tell the world that we were not testing a bomb. Anybody can test a bomb. We were testing a defense. And it worked.
So it worked. But what is it?
This we can find out from the Englishman. If we can find out what kind of defense they got, this is better than the bomb.
Then we could share it with the entire world.
Of course. If every country had this kind of defense, who's going to hit somebody else?
The ultimate weapon. Absolute defense. This could end war forever.
Oh, they'll be blaming us for that, too.
Yes, Miss Erskine. All right. Please send him up. I took the liberty of inviting the British ambassador over to meet the man. He's here now.
You did what?
It's going to come out sometime. Shh. If it comes from here, we can control it. There'll be just the ambassador and the 2 soldiers talking in a closed room.
We got the room bugged.
Of course. Done by our top radio man. The soldiers will tell the ambassador exactly what happened. Then we'll be able to find out what happened. Come in.
Ah, Mr. President.
Oh, come in, Mr. Ambassador. Have a seat.
Mr. President, it's extremely kind of you to let, to allow, yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ambassador.
This is a most unfortunate bit of business. Most unfortunate. Her Majesty's government is chagrined beyond belief. I mean, it's totally distraught.
Well, we don't exactly see it as a fiesta.
Well, our 2 officers should have been picked up years ago by our commander in charge of retrieval.
Well, in any case, we're glad we got your men back.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I'm frightfully sorry about your bomb.
We are pretty frightful, too.
Well, you know, there are bombs that destroy the surroundings without hurting the people. Or is it vice versa?
Well, whatever it is, this is not one of those bombs. Like our country, it is not sophisticated. Now, Mr. Ambassador, would you like to have a little private tete-a-tete with your officers?
Oh, thanks most awfully.
Oh, you couldn't be more awfully welcome. Our Miss Erskine outside will show you to their room.
And enjoy your talk, and don't be afraid to speak up. Nobody's listening.
Righto. Ta-ta.
Quick, turn the loudspeaker on.
Get out the tape recorder.
Gentlemen, this is the moment. If we get the information we need, our country will be a leader in the human race.
And if we don't?
Life will pass us by on the inside lane.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the 4th act of You'll Never Guess Who Dropped In. 30 seconds have passed since the British ambassador left the cabinet room. The cabinet members huddle around the loudspeaker, hoping desperately to obtain some information on their bomb test, which might turn their turkey into a triumph.
Tape recorder going?
Yes. Now everybody listen carefully.
Shh, I hear something.
Someone at the door, old boy.
Yes. Come in. Ah, now, look here. How do you do? I'm Ambassador Fortescue, and I, And,
Yes, sir. We were told you'd be dropping,
Would you care to take off your, and have a...
Oh, thank you. It's most kind of,
Not at all. I mean, after all, one doesn't really have to, so to speak,
Of course not. Well, now tell me, has there been any, I mean to say, has anyone else been...
Oh, no. I can assure you. I mean, Lieutenant, wouldn't you say that, actually...
Absolutely not. Why, there hasn't been a moment.
Oh, that's good. It'd be rather compromising if the, you realize...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, couldn't be clearer on that point at all. You see, we,
Splendid. Then we can get right down to brass zings. And,
Oh, by all means. No sense in beating around the old...
No, exactly, exactly. Well, this is coming along famously. Now, to the point. Yes.
Butcher.
We've come down to what one might call the crunch of the matter, which, as you might surmise, is... well, need I say more?
A smashing decision. Now, I would...
Smashing.
Absolutely. I would hope that we can now get down to the nitty...
Brass tacks, right.
Good show. Well, now, what occurred during the most unfortunate experience... You know, it was the...
what actually happened was, apart from obvious conjecture or empirical observation, so to speak, was that the situation, as it were, became positively... Well, in essence,
If I may interject, it wasn't quite that way exactly, you see.
Perhaps not, but... Very close to it.
Oh, very close. Very.
No, not too quickly, chaps. I'm taking all of this down and...
It presents a situation which even the most abject lack of intelligence can clearly understand and...
I understand, but look...
But one must make the separate distinction that ipso facto, so to speak, certain possibilities cannot be ignored. Where, as you were...
Hold on. Do I understand you to say that it is incumbent upon...
there's really no other way to... it's unavoidable.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh. Well, so that's how the whole thing...
Yes. Oh, dear.
But, after all, facts are facts, and they have to be...
Traditionally, yes. And I must say that you've both been very... I might say exceptionally...
Not at all.
Well, I'd best be popping... thank you so very, very...
Don't mention it for a single...
Absolutely not. And have a very pleasant...
Tell me something.
What?
What happened?
What else? We bombed again!
Good evening. This is the 6 o'clock news coming to you at 7:30 this evening, as we were preempted by the 5 o'clock news, which was moved to 6 because of a special broadcast, which will not be heard this evening. Well, that's all we have time for now, so until tomorrow, this is... Oh, I've just been handed a special bulletin. An atomic device has been exploded in the South Indian Ocean. The explosion was monitored yesterday by seismographs in Russia, the United States, England, France, and Liechtenstein. It is suspected that the test was conducted by one of the newly established countries in the...
That's all! The fan has been hit!
Are you sure the newsman knows what he's talking about?
Why wouldn't he? It comes from shortwave Radio Free Glendale.
An unimpeachable source?
Yes. Send them in. It's the English officers.
The beginning of the end?
A more monumental philosophy.
Come in, gentlemen. Have a seat.
Thank you, sir.
We just wanted to report that we had an excellent meeting with our ambassador.
So we heard.
You did?
A little bird told us that. I think it was a cuckoo.
Well, we've been talking it over, Basil and I.
I'm Basil.
I'll quickly forget.
Well, after a most enlightening meeting with our ambassador...
That meeting had a message in it?
Oh, my dear chap, vital. We all agreed that in view of the tremendous pressure, it would be best for all concerned if instead of being returned home, we stayed here.
What? It's only a matter of another 10 years or so.
Yes, and it really wouldn't be cricket to walk out when you chaps are having a spot of bother.
After what you did for us. I mean, after all, if you hadn't dropped in on us, so to speak...
Basil, that's awfully good.
In any case, if you hadn't shown up, we might never have left the island at all.
Well, if you stay here, we can keep everything quiet.
And we should be a rather good national asset. Our back pay amounts to £10,000 a year for 10 years plus benefits.
National asset? That could be the reserve.
But we still don't know. Did the bomb work? How did you get out without a scratch?
Elementary, old boy. At the moment of the explosion, Basil and I were in the most dense area of a lead mine. Lead, of course, totally repels any and all rays, forces, and currents. We were, therefore, perfectly safe.
Just a minute. The fact that the lead saved you and destroyed the island means...
that the bomb was 100% effective.
But isn't it better to have the world believe that we have discovered a defense that is 100% effective?
Absolutely! We control the greatest defense from any attack that the world has ever known.
Yes, other countries will spend the next 10 years trying to steal it.
10 years of peace. If we keep our mouths shut. What do you say? Shall we try it?
Well, as you chap said, it wouldn't hurt.
Oh, jolly well said.
Good show.
Smashing.
Well, gentlemen, I'm certainly glad you two could make this meeting.
Wouldn't have missed it for the world, old boy. Right, Basil?
For the world, absolutely.
It's been 10 years to the day that you arrived here.
10 peaceful years. Nobody talked. Our secret was kept.
We enjoy an enviable position in the royal community.
Our gross national product is a respectable figure.
Our standard of living is up 50%.
And we also have pay TV and Chinese food.
Well, now, I know you have much work to do, gentlemen. Certainly much more than I had when I was president. So, I'll leave you. Good luck, Mr. President.
Thanks awfully, old chap.
And you too, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you very much, sir.
The cabinet is now in session.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, You'll Never Guess Who Dropped In, was written by Alan Young and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Andy Griffith. Our stars were Alan Young, Ivor Barry, and Shepard Mencken. Featured in the cast were Hans Conried, Ben Wright, Len Berman, and Frank Campanella. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by the King Coil Posture Bond Mattress. Its unique bonded construction assures comfort and durability year after year. The King Coil Posture Bond Mattress.
This is Vincent Price. Join us again tomorrow when we'll put you in the mood for another chilling mystery.